I'm Hannah Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are...
The Fuckboy Podcast! Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And welcome for all the first timers out there. We are the Fuckboy Podcast, where we delve into some of the most iconic, reprehensible and shaggable fuckboys, girls and folk.
No one is safe.
Who grace our screens, novels and history books and ask,
why? This week, we promised you the skyscrapers of Singapore, but as you can see, instead we're taking a turn to barrel down the wet highways and fog-capped forests of forks.
It's, of course, the deeply loved and deeply loathed Twilight.
And of course, we'll be hearing your listener stories at the end of the episode.
But first of all, how are we?
Very well, good. And we've got a glass of wine and I'm ready to go.
Heaven. Look at you.
Hannah, I feel like you have something to get off your chest here.
I absolutely have something to get off my chest. And look, maybe we're a bit late to this now, but we have to talk about West Elm Caleb.
Oh my god.
My little TikToker inside of me is just going wild for West Elm Caleb.
Thank god for the mini Gen Z inside you.
I know, thank god they exist, am I right?
Spiritually, not actually.
Oh god, please. Absolutely spiritually. Jesus Christ. But
yes,
how it's blown up, and I found it so funny because I saw on TikTok the other day a queer woman being like, oh my god, the single straight people are going mad. They can't handle it. They should try being on Queer Hinge for a week.
Was that you, Hannah?
No, it wasn't me. Actually, it wasn't. But I was like, it's so true because it is a lot more ruthless. Like, you know, because there are a lot more people who are like, maybe we could be friends, maybe not. But like,
okay.
Oh my God.
So for someone who doesn't know that much about West Elm Caleb, tell me all about him.
Go on,
so, long story short, someone went on a date with a tall person called Caleb. Spoke about it on Instagram, was like, I got stood up, fuck you, Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, people in the comments start going absolutely wild because another TikTok, what are they called? TikTok
celebrity.
Help!
There will be some sort of like fun little
there will be
shortening that combines celebrity
we're
and
too
TikTok.
Cheeky to know,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, we are.
I know.
Yeah.
TikTokfluencer.
I like that.
Thank you. Let's not make it happen.
Rolls off the tongue.
So someone else who was on TikTok had been posting about a guy that she was dating called Caleb. And loads of people in the comments were like, oh my God, it's the same guy. TikTok just blows up.
Yeah, because it's like when people go missing, when someone finds someone's purse, like so many people have been weirdly reunited and like people have found their doppelgangers, like so much strange stuff blows up because of TikTok.
Yeah, it's
including
wild.
This.
Yeah, so then people are commenting in the comments and other women who've been on dates with this fucking mediocre bloke from New York
called Caleb.
And, like, he's ghosted them, he's not replied to loads of them. People have start figuring out timelines, whose house he left one morning, whose date he then went to.
CSI on
Caleb's
ass.
People went, like, proper home detective on the whole
thing. And he's called West Elm Caleb because he works at a furniture store called
West
Elm.
This is hilarious.
And yes, brilliant.
If you see that's in his bio.
Yeah, in his dating bio.
Very proud.
And if you see the furniture that he's made... I have seen it on TikTok.
Oh, he makes the furniture.
Yeah, he's a designer. And it's subpar, guys. It's
fucking hell.
Great.
Of course it is. Everything about this bloke is subpar.
Yeah.
Apart from the discount at West Elm.
Yeah, but no one's staying around long enough. But I did see one video which absolutely killed me and made me sick in my mouth, which was someone being like, how I managed to date West Elm Caleb for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Oh,
how grim is that though? Like he dumped you, but he stayed with me for 6 weeks. I was like, fucking
hell.
And
more than that, what a waste of those 6 weeks.
Thank God everyone else
got out earlier than that.
So what were his sins? What did he do?
He would make everyone a Spotify playlist, but he's actually just sent them the same Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
To everyone.
Like changing the name, I believe. I mean, like, for Joanna. And then they would like change 2 weeks later and be like, for Hayley.
Awful. Same it's playlist. So
at least
so
he got the names right.
Yeah.
I think he was like being very coy about the fact that he was multi-dating. Like people would be like, can I hang out with you tomorrow? And he'd be like, oh, I just need a day off. And actually he'd be dating another woman that afternoon.
And it's sparked up lots of conversations around like the new form of toxic masculinity being like this emotional vulnerability dumping almost, of being like, I'm really sorry, I just can't right now, like I'm in just such a sticky place. And it's like, no mate, you are just shagging half of New York and that is absolutely
that's
fine.
That's why you're in a sticky place.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell.
But that's absolutely fine.
The like, admin on that.
Just because you don't believe in monogamy doesn't mean you deserve any less respect or love or desire.
Scream
but
you from have the rooftops.
To be Yeah, but you have to be open about
okay,
it.
Okay, so it's yeah. the fact that he's being Slim Shady.
He's being Slim Shady and he will yeah, not stand up, baby. Yeah, shady little boy.
No. No, he is sitting down like he's hiding under pseudonyms, commenting on these videos.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Still,
really?
Still
oh, wow. So he's angry.
Oh yeah,
I'm very angry, Caleb.
He's like, you well, how do you think Caleb feels?
Definitely not.
You could just imagine... under the thing like furniture for life.
Furniture rocks in the neck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and did I hear something about dick pics as well?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my god, I forgot about this. So he would also take dick pics and send the same ones to multiple people. So he, when he was meant to be meeting up with this one girl and she was waiting for him in the cafe and he just sent her a dick pic and she was like, what? And then he just didn't turn up. So then she was like, okay, absolutely not. And I think they like started talking again. And then he sent her the same dick pic later on.
Romance
and then
is not dead.
No, it's
chivalry,
not.
Chivalry, am I right? But the actual like icing on the cake, which I totally forgot until you said that, is that now Caleb... West Elm Caleb is an NFT and his dick pics are also NFTs.
Okay, what is an NFT?
An NFT is like a piece of art that you can buy on...
Oh, like Shutterstock?
No, like it's more... it's like...
It's more an idea.
It's more an that. Idea.
It's
so,
more concept.
It's an IP.
So it, for example, it's like on the blockchain. It's part of I'm saying these words like I really understand and I don't, but it's basically you buy it with Bitcoin. It's kind of the new way of investing in art. It's like buying an investment.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So basically West Elm Caleb is could
minted.
Be worth not him his face
oh, his
the
face
people who have
peenie.
Bought his face yeah he's got
his face and his penis.
I believe so.
Wow.
People are paying Bitcoin.
I've really
maybe.
Just called it a peenie.
A peenie.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually disturbing.
I know. I like almost it. Ruined panini for me.
Never. Never. It never ruined panini.
It could not. It could try, but it
could
never.
But it could never. It could never.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay, West Elm Caleb.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think we should discuss, because look, guys, I'm doing this as a seamless segue, mm-hmm. was Hanago and Kath are at my house and they've just walked in and saw that I'm reading The Fingersmith. And
by Sarah Waters.
Oh yeah. My gosh. And what a good book.
What an amazing book.
And I said, it's taken me so many years to read it because I always thought it was a really trashy novel.
Mm.
Guys, it's not.
No.
Oh, no.
All
no.
you folks out there, it's a really good book.
Yeah.
But because it's geared towards, I guess, like the female gaze.
Yeah.
I've always assumed it's like a piece of trash literature.
Well, that's just classic.
Yeah.
Internalized misogyny, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is such a big link to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, massively. So should we get into today's topic?
I think we absolutely must because it's... Yeah.
I think we should. So I don't know if you remember, but in 2005, there was a fever sweeping through teens and tweens all over the world.
God, yes, yeah. Yes. I believe I caught it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of it as the Twilight fever.
Mm. Yes,
you could tell that someone had it from distracted daydreams, the tired eyes from reading until 4 a.m, an achy back from carrying around 4 of the largest novels in young adult fiction. It was started not by an unknown mysterious source, but by Stephanie Meyer's 2005 novel of the same name, Twilight.
Yes. Yes.
So
I was about to start singing Night Fever, but make it Twilight Fever, and then my brain couldn't do it.
The sentiment
Twilight
stands.
Fever. It's so hot. I can't.
Twilight Fever.
Twilight
Fever. To be like
fever.
A weird
yeah,
intonation.
That's it. You got it.
Yeah, very nice.
Stephanie Meyer's Twilight novels have sold more than 100 million copies.
Fucking hell.
Bloody hell.
The Twilight films with Kristen Stewart as human, Bella Swan.
Yeah.
Human, have to caveat that. And Robert Pattinson as her vampire boyfriend made over $3 billion from a mostly female fan base.
Yikes.
I know.
That's a lot of money.
$3 billion.
$3 billion.
That pink pound, baby.
I know. Holy so at the time, it was the highest grossing film made by a female director, Catherine Hardwicke.
Mm.
These books and films are one of the definitive pop culture moments of the century. Yet they're often talked about as though they're just another silly teen fad.
Mm.
When in reality, hits just don't get much bigger than this.
No.
So Hannah, let's start with you. Were you and are you still a Twilight fan?
Oh my gosh. It's like the most visceral. Actually, that and Noughts and Crosses are the two books that I viscerally remember so much because of the physical impact they had on my body.
Yeah.
Like, I cried so hysterically at Noughts and Crosses. I couldn't stop crying for so long. And with Twilight, it was like I was ill. Yeah. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was like I had that feeling.
Yeah.
I remember just aching, my body being like doubled over with anxiety and just what was obviously like lust for Edward.
Yeah.
As I would read it in the bath and be like, what am I feeling?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
And what about you, Hannah Go?
Oh my God. Yes and yes. Just so in love with Edward Cullen.
Yeah. The poster.
The poster on my wall. I mean, I think there was a point where I didn't know who was going to be cast as Edward Cullen in the movies. And so I actually had Henry Cavill on my wall for
well,
a bit.
Well, yeah, who Stephanie Meyer wanted.
Who Stephanie Meyer wanted, but then they deemed him too old.
Yeah, 24 at the time.
24? Too old?
Too old to play. How old is he
17.
In the books? But, I mean, actually.
Oh, 108. 108.
Right, right. He's like Dumbledore territory.
Little church.
Oh, we'll get to that one.
Circle back.
Yeah, I mean, so in love. I mean, I think I have a memory. I think I've spoken about this before in the first ever episode that we did.
Mm.
I have a memory of myself lying in the bath, listening to Robert Pattinson's music, just longing.
What is it about lying in the bath?
I know.
thinking about Robert
because
Pattinson.
Because it's like, at that age, the most emo thing that we can think of to do.
Yeah, like it's crying tears in a bowl of water.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I think I just didn't want my mum to see me being like, oh.
Yeah. Hiding.
So I thought we could maybe start where Stephanie Meyer does.
Please
so
do.
In the mind of 17-year-old Bella Swan. So this is how the first book opens. I'd never given much thought to how I would die, though I'd had reason enough in the last few months. But even if I had, I would not have imagined it like this. I stared without breathing across the room, into the dark eyes of the hunter. He looked pleasantly back at me. Surely it was a good way to die, in the place of someone else, someone I loved. Noble, even. That ought to count for something. I knew that if I'd never gone to Forks, I wouldn't be facing death now. But terrified as I was, I couldn't bring myself to regret the decision. When life offers you a dream so far beyond any of your expectations, it's not reasonable to grieve when it comes to an end. The hunter smiled in a friendly way as he sauntered forward to kill me.
Oh my God.
Tell you what, that opening
good.
Bangs.
It's so good.
It slaps.
It's so good. It's so good.
Bloody hell.
That's my biggest takeaway from all of this research that I've done. It's actually fucking brilliant.
Okay, yeah. I'm rereading.
Well, and then I went on a journey. But I'm still going to reread it. So Twilight follows the life of teenage Bella Swan. Loner, quiet, awkward, beautiful. She's the kind of girl who holds her face up to the rain just to feel it.
We all wish we were actually off our screens enough to be like that.
Yeah.
Now. Off our screens.
We're all down, aren't we?
Right, yeah.
She's not like other girls. She doesn't wear makeup. She reads Shakespeare. She has the Bronte sisters on her bookshelves, not Nicholas Sparks or Cecilia Hearn.
She's a soft girl.
she really is.
Not like the other girls.
Yeah, not like the other girls.
I read Shakespeare.
So annoying, actually, the words.
I don't wear makeup.
Yeah. She's a woman. She's stuck in a child's body. Older than her years, weighed down by the responsibility of a mother busy falling in love again, and a father who can't cook for himself. She isn't the every woman, but in many ways she is. Because what teenager doesn't feel older than they are?
Mm. Yeah, and what teenager doesn't feel like they're not like the other teens?
Exactly.
Or not like their peers?
Yeah.
It's either like you want to be different, or you genuinely are, and you find solace in either capacity.
Yeah. Bella. And also you're finding all of that romance in the literature that you're reading and the little things that you do day to day, like looking up and feeling the rain on your face. Like, those things are what define you when you're a teenager.
Yeah, totally. So she goes to school and meets a mysterious man who looks at her with, quote, evident curiosity in his expression.
But also cheeky sniffs.
Wearing really weird makeup.
He's very, very pale.
Her face is soaking, which is really red.
He looks slightly anemic.
But also, quote, stared at me again, meeting my eyes with the strangest expression on his face. It was hostile, furious. He was leaning away from me, sitting on the extreme edge of his chair and averting his face like he smelt something bad.
We've all been there.
Oh my God, being a teenager is rough.
How awful is it?
She's going to stop farting.
Those newfound hormones and BO, man. Yeah. It's like, do you remember when, you ever had it where, like, I don't know if you've, like, nannied a kid or you remember it from specifically that age, when people would have to start wearing deodorant but they hadn't realised it.
Yeah.
That's probably what she thought was happening. God bless.
Totally.
I know. Awful. And he's just, like, being sick in his mouth.
But even in the movies, she sniffs her armpits.
Yeah. And it's like, she sniffs her hair and she's like, it smells of strawberry shampoo. But despite all of this, there is a palpable sexual tension in their first meeting. Mm. Bella notices the way he sits, his eyes, the tendons standing out under his pale skin.
Tendons?
Does she mean veins?
Is it vein or boy?
His hard and muscular forearm. Genuine line.
Do you know what? I've always enjoyed a hard and muscular forearm.
Oh my God, me
with
too.
No, like, no joke. Really, really a fetish for them for a while. I was like, it just used to be a real thing.
And I must say, I do love veiny hands and veiny forearms.
Absolutely love them.
Wow.
I know. The way they're like under his pale skin. Yeah, creepy.
Yeah, that's a bit. He's not doing well.
Too much detail.
She talks about the fluid way he moves. How tall he is, definitely over 6 foot. Oh,
there you go.
His tousled bronze hair, voice like velvet, and his absurdly handsome face. So what do you remember most from reading or watching these novels about the introduction of Edward?
When's the first time we see them? Is it in the canteen when they walk in?
Is it the apple or is that later? That must be later.
Oh, when she drops the apple in the canteen.
And he picks it up with his foot. Yeah, that's later, isn't it?
With his foot?
Yeah, it, like, bounces off his foot. And he catches it, like, the front cover.
Yeah, and it looks so unnatural.
It's so unnatural.
It's like someone's clearly got that apple on a string. Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, he had his shoes off and he used his toes to grab it.
I mean,
I was like, that's not in the film.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised.
Can you guys pick things up with your toes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at us all.
I thought I was special because I could.
Clearly not.
I really remember, like, in my head, Edward was just so pretty, and I didn't know any boys as pretty as I had decided Edward was in my mind.
Were you disappointed when you saw
Robert Pattinson? I was not. Let me explain why I have such strong feelings on this. Okay?
Oh my God, yes.
Because I loved him and I thought he was so beautiful. And then I heard that he was smelly. I heard a rumour that Robert Pattinson was smelly. And obviously, I never recovered. I got the ick so quick. It was unbelievable. Like, that was the biggest ick. Also, the word smelly is so insane. It's so gross. It's so rancid. Just him being smelly is just...
I believe it.
I believe it in this film, but I think it's because he's got smelly, smelly chic attire.
I believe it now. I read an interview with him in GQ, and he talks about how he likes to eat tuna out of a can.
out of a can.
See, I didn't think that sort of smelly. I thought it was just like low-key, wears the same outfit again and again.
Yeah, smelly. Yeah, yeah. Like, he doesn't...
But
yeah,
tuna, like, well, wowzers.
The director is like, he like turned up for the audition and like he'd not really washed his hair. And like he was like wearing kind of gross clothes.
Really?
Yeah.
He's definitely got knob cheese.
Oh, Annika. Honestly, that was not something that I needed to think about.
Yeah, but it also is.
Oh, ew. My god.
Ew.
So yeah, I was really thrilled until I found out he was smelly.
Has he recovered to this day?
Also, the words smelly and smelly. Stinky.
Stinky.
So horrible. Stinky. That is the biggest ick.
Yeah.
Stinky, but he's a bit stinky. Sorry, can't get over it. It's so... Oh, God.
Oh, good. Did you fancy Bella or Edward more at the time?
At the time, Edward.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And now we would all take a bullet for Kristen.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't go near Smelly Patterson with a barge pole. No, that's a lie. He is very good in them.
I was a little bit disappointed by his siblings, the casting of the siblings, I must say.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I completely agree. I think they were bad wigs.
And Rosalind. Rosalind? Rosaline?
Yes, who was supposed to be the most beautiful person who ever walked this goddamn earth.
Yeah, and obviously the actress who plays her is gorgeous, but I don't
something
know
about the film doesn't translate.
Yeah.
I'm glad you
agree.
I wonder if it's more to do with how she played it, though.
Oh, what, like angry?
Like relentless anger
so
and cruelty.
So furious. Yeah. And rather than like, icy. I feel like Rosaline's very icy.
What if Rosamund Pike had played her, for example?
Oh, hot damn.
Like,
damn.
As in, I would say they're equal amounts of beauty, but it's that thing of just being like, the unattainability of that person liking you almost makes them hotter.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, I like that. I like that casting. So after they have this really fucking awkward meeting with the smell.
Yes. The stinky introduction.
The stinky intro. Edward then disappears for 3 days. And when he comes back, he's perfectly lovely to Bella. So there's literally a moment in the book where he like asks to change class. He's like, give me any class, any other class, just I cannot bear to be around
and
her.
She walks into the office
she
as
walks
he's
in
asking.
And hears it. It's awful.
Can you imagine being a teenager and hearing that?
She's like, the most beautiful guy like hates me, he hates me, he hates me, he hates me. And it's like all she can think about for 3 days while he's away.
So he's basically doing that really awful love bombing where they're like, horrible, 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 and then give you loads of affection and then horrible.
Well, no, that's totally what
and
he
then
does.
A little sprinkling of ghosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, who can blame her for being just completely confused? There's this hot and cold, push and pull relationship. And it continues as Bella basically tries to get to the bottom of the mystery that is Edward Cullen. And then he is also trying to get to the bottom of the mystery that is Bella Swan. Mm. Because Edward Cullen can read minds, people. He can read every single person's mind.
That's spoiler
but
alert.
But Bella's.
That must drive you insane.
I know.
Oh, I can't think of anything worse. What other people think of me is absolutely none of my goddamn business.
Absolutely no, I do not need to say that.
Born to be cringe.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that people are cringing at
God,
me.
God, no.
But absolutely even just not. Like the what you're going to eat for dinner and...
Yeah, don't care.
Stressing about... catching the bus oh my god, and that's just constant in your ears.
Do you think you'd be less anxious or more anxious?
What if you could hear other people's
because if you could hear other people's thoughts, you just have their anxiety.
I think you'd be so anxious because it's just like incessant thoughts and opinions.
Can he turn it off?
Hell no.
Ooh. He can't turn it off.
I can't turn it off.
That is so
I know.
Wow.
No wonder he doesn't shower. He's not got bloody time. He's got to be in therapy 24/7.
Constant listening to people's thoughts. He says he can like tune it out, but he still hears it.
So that's why he loves being around.
It's like a radio.
Like a radio, you kind of like go into white noise.
The constant buzz. I guess so.
Oh, God.
I know. Horrible. Hell. There's a scene where they try to basically like Bella's doing loads of investigation about
P.I. Swan.
Monsieur Cullen. And there's a scene where...
Oh, my God.
She's like, I figured it out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this one.
I know what you are.
Yeah, yeah. The one that's...
Yes, in the woods, in the woods.
In the woods, in the woods. The one that's got a really good, funny, bad lip reading video.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And he gives her a piggyback up a tree.
I have sent it to you.
Oh
my God. Who's going to piggyback who?
Ew.
Hannah is Edward. Hannah is Bella.
Fantastic.
So, forest. Bella stands amid the trees, waiting. Then the sounds of the forest abruptly stop. A predator is near. Edward appears behind her. She doesn't turn around.
You're impossibly fast and strong. Your skin is pale white, ice cold. Your eyes change color. And sometimes you speak like you're from a different time.
So I'm staying in the forest, Ad.
You never eat food or drink or come out in the sunlight. How old are you?
17.
How long have you been 17?
A while.
I know what you are.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No.
Oh my god!
Dramatic.
The tension.
The tension, and they're not even looking at each other.
No, the camera's circling them round and round and round.
Also, okay, having rewatched the films relatively recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How good is Kristen Stewart in those movies?
She's fucking
and
brilliant.
How pants is Robert Pattinson?
Can we talk about how unbelievably sexist it is that Robert Pattinson was just given a free hall pass to become this incredible indie actor in the way that Kristen Stewart
is only really, just becoming.
Yeah, and also I will say that people are still relentlessly cruel to her, considerate comparatively.
People hate Kristen Stewart for no reason, and it is so
misogyny.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I do want to talk about that later because there's almost like an event that you can pin it on.
Yeah.
Everything unraveled.
Well, let's bloody talk about it.
The sexism is rampant.
Yeah.
But before we do, let's talk about Edward Cullen.
Oh, please let's.
So, Edward Cullen, the Byronic anti-hero of the story, self-professed, I'm the bad guy.
Yes.
I'm the bad guy. Does.
The muse of really? Billie Eilish.
Totally.
Billie Eilish constantly talking about how she owes all of her to this
film. To Smedley Cullen.
He's 108 years old. He's falling for a teenage girl. Pretty fucked up.
Oh dear. That's illegal in some states.
In some. In all of them. I think you have to be 18 in America.
Oh, I bloody hope so.
I think you do. So we would hope at 108 years old, he might have found the restraint needed not to flirt with, ignore, and even date a 17-year-old girl. Let me think of age differences between Dumbledore and Harry and compare it to Edward and Bella. It brings the creepiness of the relationship into stark reality. Another reminder of how old this dude is, he's 7 years older than Captain Tom.
Who's Captain Tom?
You know,
Tom?
The one who walked around the thing.
The Zimmer frame.
For the NHS.
The Zimmer frame for the NHS.
Oh my god, he's so old. And wasn't he around for the Civil War?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think Jasper. That's his brother. We
who
get
will
to
circle
him.
Back. I was like, we have to talk about that.
We really
honestly,
have to talk
Stephanie
about
Meyer
that.
Made some fucking rogue ass choices.
Just put him on the other side.
Just put him on the other side. Why are you making him a racist?
Why are you making him a racist? Oh my god, is Jasper a racist?
Yes. He talks about being like
looks,
on the wrong side.
He looks a bit like a racist.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, he does. Doesn't
white supremacist vibes.
Yeah, totally. Serious, sure. Strong white supremacy energy. So, look, perhaps being stuck in the body of a teenager keeps you stunted emotionally and experientially as well. He is, after all, still a horny virgin who lives with his family, and he's only killed maybe 40 or 50 people at a push.
Oh my god, I forgot he was a virgin. He's 108 and he's a virgin. What has he been doing?
I feel like he's so stubborn that it does make him not fit. Like, I'd be like,
so
you've been around 108 years,
boring.
Live a little, baby.
He's boring, isn't he?
Boring as fuck.
Yeah.
I know. I did want to ask you, what do you think some of his worst things that he does are?
Deriving Bella of sex.
He's so bad. He's so chaste, isn't he? He's like, no, you can't be a vampire. No, I won't have sex with you.
No, I can't.
Yeah, I'll watch you sleep, but I don't want to ruin you.
Isn't it like, it's super creepy, because isn't it because he's going to like break her?
Yeah, because then when he fucking does, he like rips the pillow, but she like passes out and he like comes to and he's like ripped the pillow by her head to shreds.
Yeah, and like she's covered in bruises.
Yeah. Oh my god, but why is that hot?
No, not the passing out bit, not hot.
No, the bruises. Why is the bruises?
The bruises. Well, it's like That's kind of why it's the story like,
oh, he's trying to contain his passion.
Well, the fact that 50 Shades of Grey came from this story.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, everything. Like, the whole play is on being attracted to something that is, like...
naughty. Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
But the fatal attraction thing.
Yeah. I also think Edward Cullen really plays into, especially in America, the young kind of virginal Christian...
Totally.
...fantasy. Yeah.
Mormon writer.
No way.
Yeah, Stephanie Meyer, Mormon.
Oh my God, that's big suppressed pop. Religion.
We yeah, and like...
But like, you know, growing up Christian myself, yeah. that Edward Cullen, because he believed all those things, just it kind of was like, oh, fantastic. Like, I can go down this path with you and we'll be chaste and you won't have sex with me until we're married or whatever it is that he says.
He is the opposite of West Elm Caleb.
Yeah, he's he is. But it's going to go down in history
books. He is
Edward Cullen, the opposite of West Elm Caleb. Why are the same?
I think because ghosting.
Yeah.
Fuckboyery.
Yeah. Just misogyny.
Yeah. Just general naughtiness.
There's basically loads of times in the books where, like, he just doesn't respect her agency. Like, he doesn't let her turn into a vampire when she wants to. He refuses. He withholds sex from her, which is quite... like a weird thing to do, I think, like quite abusive.
It's hot until it's not.
Until it's not. It's right? It's when it's consensual, it's hot.
She has very little agency over anything to do with their relationship.
Yeah.
That is where it's the problem.
Like, he doesn't tell her where they're going on their honeymoon.
But it's so mad because it's like he is acting her age and yet he won't meet her at her age and plays this kind of daddy figure.
Yeah.
Controlling everything that she does, but then wants to be inside her.
Yeah, he literally will drive her car for her.
Yeah.
Instead of her, let her drive.
The thing is, he could only ever date someone like Bella, who is 17, who has yet to read any single word of feminism.
Which Bella would strongly disagree with. She'd be like, I actually read Wuthering Heights.
Oh yeah, that's true, to be fair. Come on, Bella, do better.
She's all over Wuthering
Heights. But you'd just be so like, oh my God, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, you are so bin. Like, you've given me the ick.
Yeah.
For God's sake. Independent.
I'm an independent bitch.
17-year-old.
Yeah.
Let me be.
Also, at 17, you're more likely to be like, oh, fuck off, dad. Which actually, sometimes she is.
Do you know
she
what is actually her dad, so bin? Is when Edward's like, you have to be really mean to your dad so that then you can leave.
I know.
So
he doesn't come asking. And she's like, no, I think it will be fine.
And he's like, no, you have to call him piece of shit dad.
Yeah. And like,
why?
She can't ever see or speak to her mum again. And like, he doesn't let her choose how to like make... the situation of it's so weird. So look, it's news to no one that Twilight is a pretty problematic depiction of young love when it isn't looked at through a critical lens. When we take it as a base fact that we're meant to root for and love this relationship, as well as finding the creepy and abusive stuff an appropriate substitute for healthy love, we can all understand why it's not the best role model for children. But I do think that some of the discourse around Twilight is a tad overly contentious. After all, it's just a book about romance that people like to enjoy. There was and is a lot of criticism that the books promoted an anti-feminist, damsel-in-distress view of the world. Headlines like, is Twilight bad for your love life? Or why Twilight is screwing up the next generation are rife.
Thanks, guys.
And you'll find blog...
I'm fine.
Yeah, guys, we're fine.
So fine.
But you'll also find blog articles... comparing Edward's behaviour to that of an abuser from the late noughties through till 2022.
Mm.
These articles and opinions are often completely true. Yet some of them read like thinly veiled misogyny.
Also, like, where were you stepping forward with these opinions when Britney Spears was going out with...
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I know. Where were you? Like, screaming from the rooftops, like, we need to protect our... Yeah. The women, the young women.
Yeah.
No one gave a fuck.
And even when we were reading Twilight and watching Twilight, like, none of this... I feel like none of this conversation was happening, or was it?
Maybe I think it started around... So the books came out in 2005 and it started about 2008 because it got so big.
Right.
Mm.
So it really, really upset a lot of men and a lot of people who, just because women loved it...
They had
a massive problem with it.
Right, yeah.
So in
what a funny sneak attack to be like, feminism, lol.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, you cared about it at any point.
And loads
now.
Of conservatives were writing articles. It is wild. So in a Refinery29 article, Nihir Gandhi writes, Particularly, the thing that makes her most appealing to young girls is the thing that troubles us the most about her. She's a blank slate. She has occasional moments of stubborn insistence where she takes a stance on things, but it's always protecting someone else, her family, her baby, her precious Edward, rather than about actually believing in something for herself. Now, it's not untrue, but the first Twilight novel opens, as I read earlier, with Bella musing on her own death. Before she goes to her death, she sits in a taxi on the way to her hometown thinking of Edward. Imagine running up to him, hugging him, quote, in his marble arms, finally safe. And I couldn't help but think of Harry Potter, and spoiler coming, thinking, quote, inexplicably of Ginny and her blazing look and the feel of her lips on his as Voldemort raised his wand. So the idea of sacrifice is not a new idea in fantasy novels. Jon Snow in The Battle of the Bastards, Luke Skywalker charging into the Death Star with only his X-Wing and his guts, Harry walking without his wand into the arms of death, Katniss Everdeen as she shoots her arrow not at her combatants but up at the arena that encloses her. When we blame Bella for being constantly saved by people who are powered and powerful around her, we don't hold Harry, saved by his mother, father, Sirius, Dumbledore, even Snape, to the same account. Fantasy stories are about growth and the bravery to face challenges even when you don't know if you'll be saved after. Even the blatant religiousness of this book comes under scrutiny far more than the male hero counterpart Harry. The writer of Harry Potter often talks about the clear Christian reference she's making as Harry sacrifices himself for those that he loves. Yeah. Twilight talks about female sexuality, teenage desire, lust, control, morality, and even the complexities of desiring that which we shouldn't. Like you said, they're a major influence for the book's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
And they had, like, not just teens, but women, queer people, non-binary people, people of all ages, obsessed with them. So why, then, do we think that though these Twilight books that are so far from perfect, like, why were people not just angered by the books, but by the people who liked them? So Maria Sherman talks about how we don't think of young women as tastemakers until the thing that they have liked has been recognised by other institutions we value.
Yeah.
The Teen Choice Awards are a Grammys pipeline. You know, people like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift, the Beatles.
Yeah.
There is so much vitriol towards things that young women like.
You see it right now with BTS. People are like, oh, it's a stupid band, like little only teenage girls like it.
Yeah.
And even James Corden really undermined BTS. I don't know exactly what he said, but he essentially said, like, you know, oh, teenage girls love it. It's silly. And it doesn't make it silly just because a group of people that society doesn't respect doesn't make it bad or shit or distasteful. It's so fucked up. It really pisses me off.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing going back to the Fingersmith. You know, we have this idea that because it belongs to a certain group of people, because a certain group of people like it, it's less respectable or less less.
I think it's particularly interesting as well with Twilight, similarly to, this is such a red flag, if a man, or I guess woman or non-binary person, if someone is super super anti-astrology, I am like, that is a massive red flag for me, because A, you probably think it's stupid because it's usually a woman focused hobby, interest, whatever. But further than that, it's something that can deeply reveal things about you very, very quickly. So perhaps if you are, you know, I'm a Virgo, in case anyone didn't know. and I'm super aware that I'm an incredibly anxious person. I overthink everything and I clean too much and I have these ridiculously high standards, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm so aware of that because it's part of the self-awareness. And I don't think people like engaging with it because they don't like to have to be like, oh, what? Like, I'm a Scorpio, so what? I'm a dickhead and I'm cold. No, fuck off, I'm not. Yeah, doesn't sound like it, but I think it's a similar thing with Twilight, where it's like all these men being like, oh my god, it's so bad, like you shouldn't look at this, like it's a terrible, like terrible excuse of being a woman, like, oh my god, she has no opinions.
Yeah,
like,
well, he's stupid. Yeah,
he is also abusive, and we're allowed to be attracted to that. Doesn't mean we have to stand for it, and for, like, you know, women to figure out their attraction, where it comes from, what is okay, what they would actually put up with, and what can live in their fantasy world. why would the oppressors want them to figure that out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
and
keep
also,
them in
like,
place?
These books aren't like texts.
No.
They're to be judged. They're to be like
critiqued.
Faulted and critiqued. And
yeah.
Like if you're writing a book and the character is like perfect.
How dull.
You're not writing a book.
Yeah.
Like you're meant to have responses to these characters. And there's so many like fucking men out there.
Mm.
Cis men as well out there. Just not even saying Twilight is stupid. Saying you're fucking stupid for liking Twilight.
Yeah,
and I think the key is that these women or female presenting people, they are pouring their love into something that isn't those men.
Yeah.
And men don't fucking like that.
Yeah.
Because when you put your attention to something else that isn't them, they feel it as an attack.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're losing.
Yeah.
Totally. And there are so many men who will have engaged with Twilight and enjoy it
absolutely.
And it's the bliss of escapism and all those other things. And also, it's just such a shame because I'm like, if you want to get laid, read Twilight, engage with it, engage with astrology signs, like do all of that. That is a surefire way to be like, oh my God, let's meet in the middle. We have things in common. I instantly want to bed you. So if you're not smelly, you're not going to give me the ick, you know?
Put some deodorant on and be open.
Yeah, anything but links and we're good to go.
Yeah, and it's like, appreciate things for what they are.
Yeah.
It's a love story.
Yeah.
It's a book. It's a bit of fun.
It doesn't have to be like the next seminal, like, well, I mean, it is seminal, but it doesn't have to be this like great epic. It doesn't have to be Bloody Odyssey.
Yeah.
To be
Fast and Furious would never be held up to these standards.
Oh my
Marvel
God.
Films would never be held up
no.
to these standards.
How many
Star
Marvel
Wars
films are there?
There's so much shit out
Star
there.
Star Wars. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Star Trek? Don't you get me
there
started
we go.
On Star
like,
Trek.
And like fans of that aren't seen as like embarrassing or stupid.
No,
or
if anything,
like
if a girl likes Star Trek,
they're cool.
They're not like the other girls.
Yeah.
And they're cool.
It's mm-hmm. so weird, but as soon as you love Twilight, which is this silly novel for girls, or like
yeah.
You're not even just like dumb, you're like fucked up because you like that guy.
Yeah.
And it's like there's so many amazing people who love these books, holding them accountable, talking about the fucking problems with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's people on TikTok, in articles, amazing people all over calling out the actual big issues in Twilight, which is the racism, the gender and racial stereotypes, misogyny, the toxic fan base who, that Kristen Stewart moment where she was caught in the car making out with the director of her film.
Oh my God. Of the
Snow
White and the Huntsman. And she had to release an apology.
Oh my good
so
God.
So fucked up.
That and was a seminal moment.
Yeah, that was the moment.
Y'all business.
Yeah. And that was the moment
that
you
was
saw.
Not long ago.
No.
No, it really wasn't.
No. And you wonder if that is possible, that that could have happened just a few years later. Mm. If the kind of tabloids would have had that power. But yeah, people fucking hated her.
They did.
They still do.
Yeah.
People still do. Exactly. So
I mean, but you know, they don't actually hate her because you can't hate someone
that
you
don't fucking know.
I know. So what is it? It's just stupidity.
Exactly. Yeah. And like
ignorance.
We can love Twilight and call out that toxic fan base.
Oh
like
my gosh,
so many other people do.
And call out Stephanie Meyer.
And call out Jasper being part of the literal Confederate army.
Do you know what else is fucking weird? Stephanie Meyer made Renesmee, who is, oh my God, what a name.
What a name.
Renesmee. Let's just not even talk about that CGI baby. Because, oh my God.
Just focusing on number one, maybe we'll get to two at some point.
So sorry, but I have to talk about this.
We have to.
Renesmee. Stephanie Meyer made Renesmee's birthday 9/11, 5-year anniversary of 9/11.
No.
Yes. Why?
Why?
Why? Why
just
do
why
that?
Would you do it? Just why?
It's the same as the Confederacy thing where you're like, why do you do that?
Just make them on the other side.
Just don't.
Like,
or like, don't make them.
But make a fucking point of
but
it.
But like, making it an interesting plot point that you actually discover and like go into and tear apart.
How fucking weird is that though?
So weird.
So when you find that out in the book, what
it's
does it
so
say
minor.
About it?
It's so
like
minor.
So minor.
No big deal.
I think it's like it's a flashback just, that Alice has or something.
Yeah, I think maybe Alice like tells Bella about why Jasper
is a rampant racist.
Still wants to eat her.
Jesus.
Still wants to drink her blood and murder her.
Sure,
they don't get into the fact that he's a rampant racist, just to be clear.
Yeah,
they,
not at all.
They don't dwell on that one. They're just like Jasper out there eating people.
Mm-hmm.
Enslaved people, probably. Let's just...
Also, Jasper is a fucking creep. I'm sorry. In the... Like, of course he's a terrible character for all the reasons we've mentioned, but further than that...
He loves Alice a lot.
I don't give a fuck. The way that he's just like...
I know. Oh, I'm kind of into it.
No! Again, I don't want to be taunted to, and I don't want anyone to... Actually, no, actually, good, like,
I think you do, Hannah. I actually think you do.
Okay.
Yeah, she does. Okay. People, she does.
She does. She does. So, to the listener, to wrap this one up, if you love Twilight, look on TikTok, look at articles.
Yes.
There is loads of it. You can even find the topic discussed in the Big Hit Show podcast. For so many fans, despite all of this, it remains that when we hear the Paramore soundtrack, see Bella praised not despite, but for her unlikability. Mm-hmm. See her flaws so fully on the surface. Glamorized, of course. Made theatrical, of course. You can't help but remember that at the heart of it, isn't all of the drama what being a teenager is really about?
Yes.
Isn't that the wonder of Twilight?
Yes.
Super fucking emo.
So emo, so dramatic. That's Twilight.
Oh, well done, Kathy.
So good.
Oh, I want to read the books again.
I know, it made me want to. I know. So Hannah, I believe you have a listener story for us.
Yes, and I will say the link is loose, but bear with me. It doesn't
matter. Oh my God, I love it. We love a loose link.
Yes. So I went on a Tinder date a couple of months ago on a Sunday afternoon. I did that recently in
A lot.
Too much. So I met up with this guy around 3. He had really good energy and was funny and complimentary. The place we wanted to go to had a long line. So we just went to another restaurant for a drink and some appetizers. He started slamming down Mai Tais.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Oh my God, he's drinking Mai Tais.
Mai Tais. No. Do you think I meant?
No, as in, I thought the emphasis was on the fact that he was slamming them down.
Yeah, same.
But I was like, the real emphasis is that he's slamming Mai Tais.
Yeah. He is, sorry.
And by slamming, drinking.
Yeah, slamming.
Just slamming.
I thought it was slamming,
him.
Yeah.
Hoofing him
back.
Hoofing him down that old esophagus. And she said, I had one, he had 3, and they were strong. Like, I was tipsy, borderline drunk off of one.
Both.
The bar had a 2 Mai Tai per person limit.
What?
But he found another bartender to get his 3rd.
Wait, what? Why? What is this bar?
I have not a clue. King America. We must find out.
That is not okay. That is like Edward Cullen.
Yes!
Levels of control.
I know. So he got drunker and drunker and started telling me that he loved me. Joking at first, but getting increasingly serious. As we left, he asked me to marry him. Very Edward.
That is so Edward.
That is.
I kind of laughed it off and was like, maybe we take it slow. We just met each other. He got so mad and stormed off and left me in the street on the street corner.
What?
As soon as I got home, it was 5 p.m. He started texting me, come over and I miss you. To top it all off, he was 43. What the fuck?
What a head case. Can you imagine if a woman did that?
That Mai Tai slammer. Wow.
Wow. Jesus. Only the kind of drink that you drink on holiday.
You don't slam.
Yeah. You don't slam.
At 4 p.m. on a Sunday.
I actually find that so funny, though. The idea of someone being like, marry me. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake.
Links for all our resources are in the show notes, so please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the fog-covered forests of Forks to the stiletto-wearing sisters of And Just Like That for the finale!
Yes!
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you are listening.
5 stars, please! And if you have your own fuckboy, fuckgirl, or fuckfolk story, do not be shy. Be sure to send them into our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com, or slide into our DMs.
Oh, yes.
We'd love to hear from you.
We do. And you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Carrie, Miranda, and Che.
We're coming for you.